We're glad to have you again with us this week, and my name's Mike Moody. I'll be teaching the Word of God to you this week, Lord willing, Monday to Friday, as we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Let's look first to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come again as a great privilege in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift up His name. We worship Him. We thank you as the one who paid for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We know that He was the one who had His precious and innocent blood shed for us. We pray that You would lead us and guide us as we open the very Word of God. We think of how Christ is said to be the Word of God, and that the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. We thank You, Father, for this one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit this week to You in prayer. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, here we are in our study in 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you recall, as we're ending chapter 3 this week, the previous time that I was with you in chapter 3, we see that we look primarily at the first half of verse 16 that tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's all Scripture. The entirety of the Word of God. We looked at other passages in connecting this thought together that God inspired this Word. It is God-breathed. He used human writers. We see their personalities come forth in the writings, yet it is the message that God wanted to be spoken. We see that 66 books in the Word of God, we see the time span of a few thousand years. We see many, many chapters and thousands of verses, yet we see how the agreement of these some 40 or so writers over space of over 2,000 years, we see how they agree in the very foundation of the Word of God comes forth, as we know it was much more than 2,000 years, we might ought to say, from Genesis and the times of Moses, the books of Moses, all the way to John writing in the book of Revelation. So we see here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But today we'd like to see where it says four different areas and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now we might note these four areas that the Word of God is profitable for. We see doctrine, that's teaching. We'd like to open up with that. Then we see also for reproof, where we see conviction. We see correction, which we see restoration before God to an upright position or standing. Correction, restoration in our lives is brought forth by this profitable doctrine in the Word of God. And fourthly, that the Word of God is profitable for instruction. Instruction. We could note this. There's a progression here. We begin with a doctrine from the Word of God. It brings conviction. Conviction brings correction. Correction brings righteousness. So we see that tremendous progression that we see here that can be brought forth in our lives as believers, as it's talking here about this Word of God, which is inspired by God. Well, also, we could note that after verse 16, the chapter closes with verse 17, that goes into the fact that the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see there the summation of what the Word of God does in our lives. We'll touch on that verse at a later point. Verse 16, the first of the 4 points of this doctrine of the Word of God being profitable is doctrine, teaching. Let's think of how when the Word of God is taught, we see the exposition of the Word of God. We see Isaiah chapter 28. Turn with me if you have the Word of God in front of you and turn to chapter 10, 28 and 10. It says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Well, we see in verse 9, the verse before, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And then it speaks about precept upon precept and line upon line. So here, when we think of the Word of God, we see of how we need to have the Word of God taught to us. We need to study it to learn from the Lord Himself, from the leading of the Spirit, and the open Word of God before us, the exposition of the Word of God, precept upon precept, line upon line. We need to systematically study the Bible. We've emphasized before, as we've gone through these books that tie in together, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and then Titus, the pastoral epistles, as it sometimes are called, we see the great emphasis here of bringing forth the Word of God. We see the great emphasis of the local assembly, the gathering of the saints, and yet we see these wonderful things that we see each individual Christian needs to hold dear in their lives too, as far as the Word of God and the need for study. The need to not only read the Word of God, but the need to know it by studying. We read the Word of God to know what it says. We study it to know what it means. So we need the exposition of the Scriptures, systematic teaching of the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. We see that as we systematically study the Word of God, for example, as we're doing on this radio station, we take one book at a time. One brother is assigned a particular book. As we pray over it ahead of time, we take a certain book, we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and teach what the theme of that particular book is teaching in the Word of God. We see in systematic teaching, you also can teach word studies. You can take a certain word in the Word of God and see what it means from Genesis to Revelation. You can take a certain subject and see what the teaching from God is on a particular subject. Systematic studies of the Word of God. We can do that textually, such as taking a passage at a time, or again, a word study, and just go throughout the Word of God and see what this word means. You can look at worship and go back to Genesis 22 and see how Abraham took his son Isaac upon that mount and they went to worship. And then we see worship again in the New Testament. It carries on through. And it's a wonderful study. Just an example. Well, also, when we think of doctrine or teaching, we think of, as we mentioned previous study, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This here, again, emphasizes why we must not only read the Word of God, but study it and meditate upon it, so that we can have a clear understanding of what it means. So when we study the Word of God, and the Word of God is for doctrine, for teaching, turn with me to Psalm 19 And if you recall, we, in studying this passage in Timothy, we have already looked at Psalm 19. And keep in mind, Psalm 19 and Psalm 119 both give tremendous light upon what this Word of God is. It gives us different names of the Word of God, such as in Psalm 19. And then, of course, Psalm 119 is a very lengthy chapter, between 150 and 200 verses you'll find in that chapter. But it's well worth the time spent in reading Psalm 19, verse 7. It tells us there, gives us six different names for the Word of God, gives six different descriptions of the Word of God, and then it gives six different also results of how the Word of God works in our lives. It's called, in verses 7 to 11, it says that the Word of God is perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean, true and righteous. So we see there descriptions of the Word of God. The doctrine that's here in the Word of God surely is perfect and sure and right and pure and clean, true and righteous. You know, they're called the law of the Lord. It's called the testimony. It's called the statutes. It's called the commandments. It's called the fear of the Lord. And it's called the judgments of the Lord. So we see here different names for the Word of God. Well, we've already looked at that, but I'd like to compare that with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Brother we had in our home just the other day was pointing this out to me. A good brother from Florida we've had as a guest speaker on this broadcast before, our brother Elliot Van Ryan. And in just having a little fellowship around the Word, he pointed out Psalm 19, and you could lay it beside Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we see a list of things that are very encouraging, a great exhortation. And you can compare these two passages, Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11, beside Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4, 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Then we come over to Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect. Then we see whatsoever things are honest. And then we see here in Psalm 19, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Then we see whatsoever things are just. Then we come over here and see the statutes of the Lord are right. Then we come over here and see whatsoever things are pure. Then we come over back to Psalms and see where it says that the commandment of the Lord is pure. Then we see whatsoever things are lovely in Philippians. Then we come back over to Psalm. It says the fear of the Lord is clean. Then we come back over to Philippians and we see whatsoever things are of good report. Back in Psalms we see that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. We see how there, that's worth meditating on, a great comparison, the things that we're told in Philippians to think on. If there be any praise, think on these things. Things that are true and honest, just and pure, lovely and of good report. Doesn't that describe the very Word of God? Great connection there in Psalm 19. Well, as we think a little bit further on the very doctrine of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, we see here doctrine tells us what is right. And then we go on to see reproof, correction, instruction that tells us how to get right and how to stay right. But the doctrine of the Word of God is what is right. Now let's think about the very study we have before us of the Word teaching in the Old Testament, and again, the Word teaching in the New Testament. And with prayer, we'd like to look at that tomorrow in our Bible study. Let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to open your Word and to jump into this very passage. pray that you'd lead us again tomorrow, that you would work in hearts that might encourage the saints that are listening. Pray for any unbelievers as well that may be listening in, that they would see that the Word of God truly is the only light unto this lost and dark and dying world. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.